Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the ePath Prefab Technologies Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aasim from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to all. It's a pleasure to host the senior leadership team of ePath Prefab Technologies today, as they will discuss their Q3 FY26 performance and the way forward. From ePath team, we have Mr. Sanjay Singhania, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Nikhil Bothra, Executive Director, and Mr. Rahul Agarwal, CFO. So we'll begin the call with Mr. Singhania for his initial thoughts, and post this, we can open the floor for questions. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Singhania.
Yeah, thank you, and good evening, everyone. I would like to start, first of all, by just taking 60 seconds and running through what we exactly do. So ePath Prefab Technologies, we are into the prefabricated building solutions. So we design the buildings, and then we manufacture the buildings in all the components of the buildings in our factories. So we have three locations for prefabricated buildings. One is in Greater Noida, the second one is in Ghiloth, Rajasthan, and third is Mombatu. So the three facilities, we manufacture each of the components of the buildings that have been designed by us, and then we go to the, we take all the metal to the customer site and do the execution. So this is our typical business model. As far as the plants and the capacities are concerned, we have in the prefab, we have two kinds of capacities. One is on the structural steel front. So structural steel fabrication across these three plants, we have a capacity of 133,000 tons, and the second capacity is about the sandwich panels. So we make insulated sandwich panels, which has applications in walls of cold storages, building facades, and clean rooms. So for that, we have a capacity of 13.1 lakh square meters per annum. Now I will talk about designing. So in our business, since each of the buildings is customized, most of the buildings for us are either industrial buildings, warehousing buildings, or now the trend is towards the high-rise buildings, which are typically used for commercial or institutional or data center purposes. So these kinds of buildings are being designed by our team of 100-plus engineers and designers who sit in our three design centers based out of Greater Noida, Hyderabad, and Vizag. So this is about the company and the capacities. So coming to the quarterly performance, I'm very happy to say that in this quarter, Q3 26, on a year-on-year basis, on a YOY basis, the revenue of the company of the prefab division has grown by 31%, and overall, the revenue of the company has grown by 22%. Yes, on a quarter-to-quarter basis, there seems to be a dip in the revenue of the company and the overall performance of the company, but I think we maintain this guideline for now and for future that to look into our business, it is important to look at YOY quarter rather than quarter-on-quarter because our business gets affected by seasonality. Our business gets affected by monsoon, wherein our customers are unable to draw material from us to work at the site because most of the sites, the work is either stopped because of civil work has not been done, or we do not get the front from the customers. So for our business, it is important to compare on a YOY quarterly basis. As far as the 9 months of the companies are concerned, on the revenue front, the company's revenue has grown again by 41%. So our growth is 41% as compared to 9 months of same period last year, and EBITDA is 57% up. So this is very much in line with the guidance which we have been giving to the market from time to time, and the guidance which we gave to our anchor investors during our roadshows before the IPO. And also, you know, you would like to tell that our IPO happened only 4 months, 3.5 months back. We got listed on 1st of October, and this is our second investor call after the IPO. On the margin, last quarter was 10.1%. It is little down for sure, but on a nine-month basis, it is 10.8%. Our guidance has always been that the margins would be range bound between 10.5 to 11.5%, and we continue to stand by this guidance, not only for this year, but also for the next year. Our order book has been very strong. Our order, pending order as on 1st of January 26 is 1215 crores. So, which gives us a clear runway for the next 7 to 8 months. And, you know, as far as the capacity utilization is concerned, very happy to bring to your knowledge that our average capacity utilization of the last 3 months across all the three plants put together is 74% plus. And in terms of capacity addition, the two capacities which we are adding, one is the structural steel fabrication capacity in Mumbatu, which we call as Unit 4 for us in Andhra Pradesh. That is well on track. The capacity will be commercialized within this quarter, the fourth quarter of this financial year. And there we are doing a capex of 56-57 crores, which we had taken from the IPO. The second capex is towards the sandwich panel line being installed at the Ghiloth plant in Rajasthan. So there also the building is progressing well, although there is certain delay on account of NGT ban and GRAP in Delhi NCR. But we are very hopeful that this facility, in which the capacity will be 8 lakh square meters of sandwich panel, that will also be commercialized in the third quarter of FY27. And, you know, like I talked about order books. So last quarter was, you know, like in particular, a very good quarter for us in terms of order book. We are, you know, like gradually becoming one of the most preferred vendors for the renewable sector, and I think the kind of work which we are doing for the renewable sector, no other company in our sector is doing it. So in our order book, in our pending order book also, we have close to 25 to 28% of our order from the renewable sector, and around 18% is from electronics, semiconductor, and electrical. In which, you know, like we have two major projects from CG Power, which is a transformer company and technical associates. Then FMCG, auto and pharma are, you know, like sectors are also there. And the projects from this sector keeps on coming every now and then. And logistics, warehousing is another sector where we get almost, you know, like new orders almost every month. So the most important highlight for us or the achievement of our company has been that we have been able to position ourselves as one of the fastest construction company through prefab technology in this country. So we are the first one to be recalled whenever someone is a fast construction, and you know, more and more people are showing their trust on us, and very happy to share that, you know, we have been able to meet the expectations in terms of speed and quality for most of our customers. So that is it from my side. Yeah, happy to go on the floor for the questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Priyanshu Jain from Growth X Infinity. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Good afternoon, sir.
Mr. Jain, are you there?
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Good afternoon, sir. I have few questions. So first is on the number side, sir. Can you throw some light on it more, as you mentioned in your earlier remarks regarding that there is a decline in Q1Q basis, so... This is my first question.
I think, Mr. Jain, we missed out, you know, like your question. I couldn't hear properly.
So my question is that there is a decline in on Q1Q basis. So can you throw some more light on it?
Yeah, you are right. You know, there is a decline. There seems to be a decline in the Q1Q basis. But as I said, you know, like our business gets affected because of the monsoon season. So that is not the right way to look into the business. But yes, you know, like... all I can tell you is the revenue could have been a little better for us, but we had an additional inventory in finished goods of 35 to 40 crores, which could not be billed in the month of December, because last 6-7 days of December, the payment could not be made by the customers because of, you know, Christmas holidays and all those things. So that is one thing that affected the revenue. And the secondly, the month of October and November, the billings were not up to the mark. Because, you know, as I said, the monsoon prolonged in the south, to be particular, and in south, we had the maximum project at that time. So that was the reason. Otherwise, you know, like this revenue could have been another 30-40 odd crores.
Okay, sir, so would you like to revise your guidance again?
Our annual guidance, you know, I couldn't hear you properly, but what I understand is, there is no revision on the guidance being given. Our annual guidance has always been in the range bound between 1500 to 1550, and we stick by it.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And my second question is, does the company currently cater to defense or military infrastructure requirements, particularly like for modular insulated structures in extreme climatic conditions?
Again, you know, like I'm finding it a little difficult, but what I understand from your question is, are we capable to handle the modular building requirement in extreme climatic conditions? Is this correct?
Yes, sir. For the defense personnel schools or for our nation, so like sometimes they have to be deployed at extreme weather conditions.
Yeah.
Are we capable to deliver over there?
Yes. We are very much capable to, you know, deliver over there. So I will tell you, know, like the highest post in India, in Siachen, which is about 300 kilometers above Siachen, it is hot spring post. So we are the company who did this project. We made some houses for the defense personnel, you know, like who are staying there. So yes, we have the capability to work in the extreme conditions and also the extreme geographical locations in the country.
So can you throw some light on the opportunity? Like, are we in talks with the government for like large opportunities in the side going forward?
In our business, you know, like we keep on engaging with the various agencies, with the government, the defense, and PWD, CPWD, and what other, you know, like, so everywhere the idea is, you know, we don't want you know, like to this prefab to become technology to be adopted. Rather, we are working towards embedding this technology to become a part and parcel of the overall construction. So the idea is that, you know, like how fast can we make it the prefab to be 25 to 30% of the overall construction and infrastructure demand. So that is the direction in which we are working, and definitely we are in touch with most of the players who are you know, going to consume this technology.
A question will be on the computer edge. Can you mention that?
Mr. Jain, can you please rejoin the queue? We can't hear you properly.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Jain from Fair Value Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. So if we observe the employee expenses, so there has been almost 100% jump year on year. Can you throw some color on the significant increase?
Yeah. See, employee expenses have increased for us because, you know, like this company has grown quite rapidly. You can see in the last 4 years, our CAGR growth is more than 50-55%. So yes, we have always been ahead of times in terms of hiring people. And with the kind of ambition which we have for next year, it is important for the company to be people ready. So that is the reason, you know, you see a little increase in the overall employee expenses. But as the revenue catches up, the percentage of revenue employee expenses will be around 9%, which has been there traditionally.
Okay, so you're guiding towards 9% as a percentage of revenue, right?
Yeah, it has been there in 9 to 9.5%, I think, you know, more or less it has been there.
Right, so because this quarter it is close to 12%. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Your absolute finance... Okay. Okay. Your absolute finance cost also has been rising, you know, despite the company being in possession of IPO funds. This is actually a little contrasting. Provide some color here?
Yes, our CFO Rahulji will answer this. Rahulji, please.
Yeah, hi. Look, I mean, there are two parts to it. So, you said the IPO money is there, so we are deploying that IPO money since this is deployed in particular Serial Commercial Bank. So, there is an other income that you see clearly coming through that IPO fund. However, on an employee, on a finance cost, look, we have done reduction of about 70 crore of term loan. So you will see a clear impact of that in the quarter that is ahead. Obviously, we also use some of the methods of LCs, etc. to discount our bills for our receivables as well as for our vendor partner in some cases where we get benefits. And all that is sitting here. But like I had mentioned in the previous quarter as well, there will be definite reduction. And today on a 9-month basis, we are at about 2.2% of the entire revenue, which is expected to go to about 1.9% by end of this year. Obviously, as a percentage, also this will improve.
Okay, so you're guiding towards closer to 2% by end of the year, is it?
Yeah. Full year guidance is close to 2%.
Okay. on the revenue front, the management mentioned that the company felt the impact of prolonged monsoon. My only question is that Q2 had required peak monsoons. However, the company delivered peak performance in Q2. So, why in Q3 the impact was more pronounced of monsoon?
Yeah, it's a great question. See, what happens is in the Q1 most of the civil work is done, and Q2 if the civil work is ready, it is easier for us to manufacture and ship to the sites. So that was, you know, done because the civil work already was available for us to work. For us, we are not affected that much by the monsoons. The civil work is affected, and because of that, our effect is more. So, you know, and also what happened is we had 2 big orders with us in South. And if you look at the geographical distribution which we have shared in the H1, 50% of the revenue of H1 had come from South. So there were these 2 projects which were going on very well, and we were able to ship our material to them. So that is the reason that, you know, like we could get great revenue increment in the quarter 2.
Okay, so you're saying due to prolonged monsoon in South, you felt the impact more in Q3. Is that what you're trying to say? Just trying to clarify.
Because what happens is civil work cannot be done in quarter 2, especially in the month of say July, August. The civil work lags behind. And when the civil work has not been done, we cannot start our work. Whereas in, you know, like quarter 1, most of the civil work is done, say till the month of June. So July, August, September, even if there is no civil work is being done, the site is ready. So we can start the erection and the supplies and the erection, everything else can go on.
Okay. So no, just because that in the last quarter call, there was no guidance towards, civil works being delayed, and this has come kind of as a surprise to the street. That's why I'm trying to clarify. Thank you for your clarification. And my last question is on the NGT ban, you mentioned about it impacting your plant operations. Can you please say that again, sir? Thank you.
Yeah. See, you know, first of all, I will clarify on the guidance. You know, we are not speaking about the monsoon season or affecting our quarter three. See, we don't do the civil works. Eh? It is being done by the customer. So it depends from customer to customer and also their site. There are customers who are able to manage their sites very well and work during the monsoon as well. So it depends on the customer. Eh? And especially, and the second point is about this NGT. So yes, NGT ban is there in Delhi NCR construction. Typically, it affects all the construction from after Diwali and till yesterday, you know, like the ban was there for 2.5 months, that is affecting all the construction. And the PEB is also, affected there. But as far as our plants are concerned, we have two plants, one in Greater Noida and the other one in Ghiloth. And operations of the plant, the manufacturing and everything else is not discontinued, it continues. What I meant to say was, we have an expansion going on in Ghiloth for the sandwich panel line. And for that also, we have to do civil works so that we can start the building of pre-engineered. So there also the civil works is getting delayed. So that is what I wanted to say there.
Right. So what you're trying to say is that CAPEX is being delayed at Ghiloth due to the NGT ban.
Yes.
Right. Should we see any impact of that on the Q4 numbers?
No. This CAPEX, you know, like as it is, as I said, this CAPEX as it is will go into commercial production only in the third quarter of 27.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We already have sufficient capacities both in terms of structural steel fabrication and in terms of sandwich panels for the quarter four of this financial year as well as for the quarter one of next financial year.
Great. Just one last question. So the order book that we are holding right now, is there anything that is preventing us in, you know, executing that at our peak capacity in quarter four? Like, this would be a great time to mention.
Yes. You see, this is the best time. Actually, this quarter is the best quarter in terms of, you know, like site clearances. So civil works also goes on rapidly. Unfortunately, you know, like Holi is the only period when there is some disruption at the site level in terms of execution. So, you know, that is the reason we say that fourth quarter is the best quarter in our business. And there are, you know, like chances of some delay in the revenue postponement because of design delays and things like that. But fortunately for us, in this quarter, whatever, you know, we are planning to produce and execute at the site level, most of the projects are already being cleared from the design engineering point of view as well. So we do not see any challenge in this quarter.
Thank you. A request to all participants, please restrict your questions to 2 questions per participant. For more questions, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Gupta from Avia Advisor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Am I audible to you?
Yes.
Yeah, so I want to understand the given position to 82% of the defense order book.
Sir, we can't hear you properly.
Vaibhav, I can't hear you.
Hello, am I audible right now?
Yes.
Yeah, so you have mentioned that the meaningful order book is coming from the renewable sector. Around 25 to 28% of the order book is coming from the renewable sector. So I wanted to understand how this segment is, how this sector basically different from the other sectors, PEP businesses, specifically in terms of what are the advantage in terms of the project size, execution timelines, margins, or any other renewable visibility compared to the other segment businesses.
Yeah, see, you know, like most of the renewable companies now are going in for backward integration. So if we had made some module factory for someone, then he is going for cell. And for those, you know, like who for whom we have done the cell plant, now they are going in for aluminium or glass, and also thinking of going in for wafer plant and ingot plant. So there is a, you know, like a regular flow of orders from the same customer. So it is important that we continue to retain the customer and give him the best of services. And, you know, like understanding this requirement from the customer, what we have done is we have focused team of focus team of people in the company who take care of these customers, because they have a unique requirement of seed. Most of these projects are very, very high-speed projects. Firstly, you know, I think it is because of the huge opportunity in the renewable sector. No one wants to miss the opportunity because of the timelines. So they want their factory to be ready in 5 to 6 months' time. And time and again, we have displayed our ability to execute much faster than any of our peer group. So that is the reason we are becoming a preferred player in this market. And also, you know, like since we have delivered now so many projects successfully, so most of these, you know, like renewable companies are preferring us. In terms of complexity, yes, while the module building is fairly simple to execute, but the complexity level, especially in cell building and the glass plant, you know, which we are executing, is very, very high, and it's not possible for, you know, anyone to execute it. You know, like there are a lot of design complexities and execution complexities which has to be taken care of.
Okay, and in terms of this, sir, basically EBITDA or margins, how this renewable sector is?
Yeah, see, you know, like while we are giving our margins and EBITDA on a console basis, on a company level basis, but yes, margins are a little better. But see, you know, like more than the margins, it is the opportunity to do repeat business with these people, you know, because understanding the fact that they already have, say, land in place, they have made some module plant, and we are very much sure that, you know, they will come up with more buildings. So idea is to get repeat business rather than just, you know, like thinking about margin, which is one-time affair. See, it's a competitive marketplace, and you know, margins come from service. So, you know, like there's a customer whose order we have booked just last week itself, and we have already done some 14-15 buildings with them. We got some 3-4 purchase orders in the last 1 year from them, and now it is the time, you know, they have seen our execution, they have seen our quality, and this time, you know, we could get some 2%, 2.5% premium from them. So I think, you know, margins will come only after we have been able to demonstrate our capabilities to the company.
Okay. And second question is, what portion of the, basically in the total order book, what portion of the order book is coming from the repeat customer versus the new customer, sir?
Yeah, so repeat customer for us is around 40 to 45%. For this quarter, we have not worked out, you know, like what's the repeat customer rate. But it will be between 40 to 45% for us.
Okay, I just have one more question. So basically, it is on the business understanding basically. Would it be possible for you to share a broad cost breakup of a typical PAB or prefab project? For an example, like if we consider total PAB cost is 100%. So how much is generally distributed across the primary build-up section, then secondary members, then how much is for the routing and sandwich in terms of percentage, and how much is for the other accessories?
Yeah, it's a great question. I wish I had the answer to it, because, you know, for us, each of the building is a customized building. So let us, you know, I was talking about solar, let us stick to it. So while, you know, like in case of, say, module building, which is simpler, the built-up section may be 50%. But in case of cell building, in which the height is also much more, and there are a lot of loading of the HVAC and a lot of other equipment, so the same building may be having 65% or 70% of the built-up sections. So it varies from building to building, and in a high-rise building, the built-up sections may be even more, maybe 80% plus. So very difficult to give you a thumb rule on that, but on a generalized basis, what we typically assume is built-up is around 60 to 65% range bound, you can say, on an annualized basis of all the projects which we do. But it may vary substantially, you know, like depending on the project.
Mm-hmm. Understood, understood. And I just have one last question.
Like a warehousing, you know, like the roofing area is much more in a warehouse. So the roofing quantity is higher. But in an industrial building, you know, like roofing area is less. But, you know, like the loading of the EOT crane, the loading of, you know, various floors, offices is higher. So there the weight is more of the structural steel.
Okay, so I just have one last question.
Sorry, Mr. Gupta, Can you please rejoin the queue for the follow-up question as there are more participants left in the queue?
Okay, sure, ma'am. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash Srivastav from Intec Technology. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Sir, we can't hear you properly. Can you please be louder?
Hello. Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm audible to you.
Yes.
Yeah, sir, I have two questions. First, as we are seeing the rise in the commodity prices, so how we are able to manage this, means whether we will able to manage our OPM in the next upcoming quarters, or whether we can see any dip in the OPM, because we are seeing some rise in the commodity prices. So you are the better to answer this question.
So this is first question, huh?
Yeah, yeah, first question. And the second one is that, sir, we have provided a guidance for next 3 to 5 years that we will grow for 30-35% with OPM of 10.5 to 11.5%. So are we having this guidance, or we can change this guidance also?
Yeah, first I will answer your commodity. So this is the fact that the commodity prices are behaving quite abruptly right now. And the steel prices have gone up by some 4 to 5% in this month. And in our business, what happens is we have 3 kinds of cushioning to give us a protection in the OPM. The first one is the raw material inventory. So typically we have an inventory of 30 to 45 days of production. Secondly, we have a purchase order given to the vendors already based on our order book. So, whatever we are going to produce in the next 2.5 months, 3 months is already ordered to the steel mills and advances have been made. So, the protection is there with us. Thirdly, what happens in our business is we book orders every week. So, when we book the orders, then it is on the basis of the current commodity prices. So that gives us a natural hedging itself. So yes, I do not foresee any impact of this commodity price increase in our OPM. And as far as the guidance to the market is concerned, we have given a guidance for this current FY of 1500 to 1550 crores. That is intact, very well, possible for us. And I'm not very sure, where have we given a guidance of 30-35% over the last next 5 years.
In one TV interview, you have given the, means in your team, someone has given the guidance of 30-35% CAGR growth for next 3 years. That is something like, with OPM of 10.5 to 11.5%. So that's why I'm asking.
10.5 to 11.5% year margin, we continue to guide the market for this year as well as for the next year. And 35%, year on year, that will be our endeavor. That depends on the technology adoption and a lot of other factors. Considering the current global scenario and the things are happening, very difficult to project the future. But what the guidance which we have given is, if the market grows at 10%, we'll definitely grow at 20%, because the kind of services and the delivery and the pricing strategy which we have will definitely, be ahead of the market growth.
Okay, thanks, sir. One follow-up question. Actually, you have said that you procure material on weekly basis. So, just want to know that whether we bid for a project, whether the project is fixed price project, or whether there is a clause of price escalation also. Because if the project is a fixed cost project and we procure the material on a weekly basis, so we have to take the burden of if the price increase in the commodity market. So who will take the burden? Is the we as a company or the customer?
See, our contracts are fixed price contracts, but we do not order the material on a weekly basis. What I told you is our order booking, the order intake happens on a weekly basis on the current prices. So if today the steel prices is 56, it will happen at 56. If next week the steel price is 58, the order booking for us will happen at 58. So it gives us a natural hedging. So it means, if today's order has to be delivered 3 months after, and if the 3 months after the raw material prices come down to 54, then we are the beneficiaries. months after the raw material prices go up to 60, then again, you know, like the next order which you're booking next week or next to next week, it will be on 60 itself. So it gives us a natural hedging. We are not, you know, like one project or two projects. We don't do one or two projects in a year. We do 500 projects and that gives us a natural hedging itself. And you know, like in the last so many years of our business, the only time where we suffered a loss because of, you know, like steel price increase, it was during the year 2022, when there was a war between Ukraine and Russia in the month of February and March, and the steel prices went up by 40%. It affected our bottom line of that quarter. But any, you know, like the price increase or decrease of 3 to 5% doesn't affect us.
Okay, thank you. Means there is no price escalation clause in our project, and we procure the order, we procure the material weekly basis. That's the conclusion.
We procure the material, we give the orders to the mill on a weekly basis, but the price is set on a monthly basis, and the delivery happens over the next 8 to 10 weeks.
Means in any project, there is no price escalation clause. Suppose something happened like like what happened in the past in the Ukraine war. If suppose something that disruption happens, then there is no clause to means pass the price to the customer. Increase price.
Our projects, our contracts have two things. One is a fixed price and second is a fixed time. Okay.
Okay.
So what happens is within the timeline, the project has to be executed. So there are a lot of projects which gets delayed from the customer side because either his site is not ready or his, you know, like drawings are not clear. So in that case, we are bound by the project only for that particular duration. So if there is some project which we have won in the month of July and it is still not taken off because the customer has not got certain approval or design approval has not been done, so we can always go back to the customer and tell that, okay, the period of the project is over now and you have to give us this price increase. And in the past also, we have been able to take it successfully because the objective of the customer is not only to, you know, like stop us from giving us an increase. It is, his objective is much bigger. He is putting up a new factory, which is, you know, like maybe thousands of crores. So for us, for him, you know, like giving us 1 or 2 crore extra, which is genuinely asked for, is not a challenge.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A request to all participants, please restrict your questions to 2 questions per participant. For more questions, please rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yes, sir. Please continue.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So, just wanted to check one thing. Now, on your order
book... Mr. Poddar, can you please be a little louder?
Yeah, this is better.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, sir, just wanted to ask, I mean, we have got around 1,200 crores of order book, right? So, what's the execution timeline on that?
Our order book to revenue cycle is 1.5, so it means, you know, like 7 to 8 months is the total cycle time.
7 to 8 months, right? So yeah, ideally, yeah. For I mean, since your order book duration is 7 to 8 months, but the raw material that we hold is close to about 30 to 45 days. So do we see any kind of mismatch on that? I mean, as per current commodity prices, whatever order book we would have, it might be 7-8 months old order book, right? So order that we would have got might be a little older. So is there any mismatch that can arise because of this? Because our order book duration and our raw material duration is different, right?
See, our raw material duration is 4 to 6 weeks. And the order which we have with the mill is 8 to 10 weeks. So typically, is the next 14 to 16 weeks is covered for us. 14 to 16 weeks is more than 3 to 4 months, around 3 to 4 months. So 3 to 4 months coverage is already with us. And as I said, there are certain projects which get delayed from the customer end. So those projects, we have the, you know, like, as per the contract, we can always go back to the customer and ask them for a price increase because the delay is from their side, maybe related to the design approval or the site not ready or things like that. And it is always mutually decided and, you know, that's quite possible for us because the designing and, all, you know, it involves a lot of bandwidth of the customer, his consultant, his PMC as well.
Okay.
And also, you know, if you see the cycle of the project, if we get a project today, around 1 month goes for the designing and approval. Then next 2 to 3 months is for the manufacturing. In the next 2 to 3 months or 4 months, depending on the size of the project, is execution at site. So typically, if you see any project, you know, we have a supply timelines of 3 to 4 months from the date of purchase order. So typically, we have a stock inventory of around 35 to 40 days. Plus, we are covered with the mills which for the orders that we have placed for 2 to 2.5 months. So almost for the 3 to 3.5 months till we have to supply for that project, we are covered. So that's how, you know, the overall project cycle works.
Okay, understood. And my second question is on your sandwich panel. For this new CAPEX, so what's the CAPEX involved, the new expansion that we are doing, and what's the margin differential between sandwich panel and PEB?
Can you please continue?
Sorry?
Hello?
Yeah. So we are doing a CAPEX, a greenfield CAPEX in Gehlaut for sandwich panels. We are doing 101 odd crores there, where, you know, we have already started the plan at this location, and it will be operational by the third quarter of the next financial year. In terms of sandwich panel application, we use in two ways. So one is in our in-house projects, like we do a lot of, you know, site infrastructure, accommodation buildings. Then we do a lot of clean room projects for our, you know, renewable energy sector customers or data center customers. So those are where we supply the panels and we erect them as well. So that is one category where we use the sandwich panels. The second category is only for the supply of panels as a product. So there are a lot of contractors who do a lot of cold storages, a lot of clean rooms, a lot of other, you know, prefabricated structures. So we do the supply of those panels to those contractors as well. So if we talk about the margin range, that is quite similar in PEB as well as the panels both in terms of the percentage.
Okay, understood. And are we looking at export market also? I mean, our export is very less. So is that something we are exploring?
So yes, you know, export market is available, but you know, what we have studied as of now, we have good growth opportunities in India. So current focus is in India. Going forward, you know, we have now the plant in the south as well. So going forward, yes, we will explore the market in Africa and other countries. But as of now, we are focusing on the Indian market growth.
Fair enough. Okay, that would be it from my side. I mean, wish you all the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahas Jain from White Oak AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay. I'm Dinesh from White Oak. Sir, based on your guidance, Q4 should be in the range of 470 crore top line. I'm just taking the midpoint of the guidance and about 55 crore EBITDA, and given how three weeks of January have gone, and obviously Delhi NCR has got this certain restrictions on construction and all that, what is the level of confidence in terms of, you know, meeting these numbers?
Yeah, see, you know, like we have been repeatedly telling about this revenue guidance of 1500 to 1550. And I really don't foresee any challenge. In the last 20 days of this month or so, the building is pretty good. So, yeah, absolutely no challenge on, you know, like, because, you know, for our business, what happens typically, a challenge is after receipt of order, is there can be two kinds of delay. One is the design approval and design and engineering approval from the customer end or his consultant. And the second is the civil works delay by the customer's civil contractor. So fortunately for the civil work, this is the best time to do in the entire country. And a lot of our projects, which we had back last quarter and before that also, so most of the designing, engineering is already completed and approved by the customer. Whatever is lying is at our end in terms of, you know, like making the shop going. So I really don't foresee any challenge to achieve this revenue.
All right. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devang Patel from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. In Rajasthan, where we were putting 11,000-ton capacity, is that also delayed to Q3 next year? And given our PB capacity is 69% in 9 months, do we have room to scale up by 50% in Q4 over Q3 from capacity perspective?
See, the Rajasthan capacity of 11,000 tons which you're talking about is a part of the overall 33,000 tons capacity which we are, adding. So Rajasthan also, some of the machines have already arrived and have been installed, which is being done at the existing plant in Ghiloth. It is not in the new plant. And other machines are already, in various stages of either commissioning or, reaching the factory. So it will be commissioned, this 36,000 tons, which comprises of two locations, Mumbai and Ghiloth, will be commissioned within this quarter.
Okay. And how about having headroom to, scale up revenues quarter on quarter by 50%?
By 50%?
Yes. About from 300 to 450 crores.
Yeah. See, 300 to 450 crores for this quarter is quite possible because, as I said, we have an FG of 35 to 40 crores of last quarter, which could not be, lifted by the customers. So that is giving us that kind of headroom. And also, as I said, it depends on project to project. So there are certain projects in which the build-up section is less, and there are, items like ancillary items like decking sheet and roofing and things like that. So it increases our overall revenue. So fortunately, for this quarter also, we have some of the projects in which, this kind of ancillary items are very high in terms of percentage.
Okay. My other question was on working capital. Now, the Q2 presentation said it was at 23 days. The Q3 presentation says it is at 38 days. So are these like-to-like numbers, and has there been that kind of increase in working capital between Q2 and Q3?
Yes, see, last time also when we had a call, very explicitly told that the 23 days is not a long-term thing. It has happened because, we were able to execute some of the projects very fast and get the payment from them also, based on the payment terms from them. But it is not normal. Normally, we have given a guidance of 35 days, and it will be ranged around within that, within that framework only.
Okay. Especially trade payables were 328 crores in Q2. Could you give that number for Q3? Has that normalized down?
Rahul ji, do you have the figure in handy?
So trade payable is more or less similar. It's about 15 crore less for the quarter, though we haven't presented the balance sheet, but since you asked, it's about 310-312 crore for the quarter.
Okay. So when the working capital has, gone up from Q2 to Q3, is it on receivable side or is it on the inventory side?
Yes, there is some bit of stretch on the receivable. But much of this receivable we anticipate to recover in the month of January. So, and then like Sanjay ji earlier mentioned, we had ready material also on SFG worth 30-40 crore, which we could not bill and recover the money because of want of payment. So as that comes, this working capital cycle should improve. But like we said earlier, 35 days is a realistic expectation.
Okay. And just lastly, could you give a guidance for CapEx next year since you're accelerating Gujarat plant CapEx also?
Correct. So, sir, would you want to take this?
Yeah. So while, for the next FY, we'll be utilizing all the CapEx, of through raise to IPO of 160 crores in two plants in Mumbai and Ghiloth. And for the Gujarat, that is an additional CapEx for us. We have invested around 40 crores in getting this 40 acres, 39 acres of land in Vitlapur. And the idea is, to put up a capacity of 50,000 tons to start with. So which needs a CapEx of around 55 to 60 crore rupees. So that will also be done in the next financial year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhvendra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. I'm audible.
Yes, hello. Yeah, you are.
Yeah. So, sir, I have one question. that should we compare financials YOY or QOQ?
YOY, because as I said, our business gets affected during the monsoon season, so YOY is the best way to do it.
But still, means if we look at the disappointment with the result, so first half is 45%, second half is 55%. So typically, the second half starting Q3, the result should be more than the Q2. It should be like that?
Yes and no. If you think it that way, no, because if you compare to the quarter YOY, then already the company has grown by 31%.
Yes. Yeah, that means the company has grown by 31%, but given the kind of reaction the market has given, means it's slightly disappointing, considering that you have said that we will report similar numbers, means as of Q2, like 400 something crore, and then you miss the numbers. And
yeah,
then, sir,
I will tell you our
yeah.
guidance. Our guidance to, of growth of revenue growth was around 38%, 39% for the entire year. Last year it was 1140. This year we have given 1500 to 1550. So it is 38%. Our 9 month achievement is 41% growth. So we are above the target. So I really don't understand, you know, like this context of we have not been able to deliver the revenue targets. We are very much in line.
Yeah.
Achieve our end guidance. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Majorly all my questions were answered. Just a quick question that while you are securing orders, it is directly from the customer or there is some sort of a bidding pipeline that you have?
Yeah, most of our, you know, like orders are directly from the customers. We like to deal directly with the end user of the building. So it may be a factory or it may be a warehouse owner who may be an investor-driven company or any other, you know, like player. But yes, mostly it is the
Okay. And what is the maximum kind of coming from it?
There's some disruption. I'm sorry. There's some disruption. I can't.
Hello.
Can you check this? Hello. Yeah, hello. Hello, can you check this, please? Yes, I carry on, please. I will try to answer.
Sir, yes, left the queue. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Goyal from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Excuse me. What is this, you know, like sound I can hear?
Hello.
What is this sound?
Yes, sir, checking. Just give me a moment.
Yeah, better. Thank you.
Hello.
Yes,
Am I audible? My question is on your PPT showing that your PAT has been growing around 48%. But when I exclude other income, then your PAT has been growing by around 80%. So I just wanted to understand your other income has been, like last year there is no other income, right now it is around 59 million. So what is the nature of other income? Like why there is significant increase in other income?
Rahulji, please go ahead.
Yes, sir, please continue.
Okay, so first of all, my question is on other income, basically. So your PPT is showing that the PAT has been grown by 48%, but we exclude the other income, then PAT has been grown by around 18%. So and the last year there is no other income, but right now it is showing at 59 million of PAT. Of 59 million of other income. So what is the nature of this other income? Like why there is so much increase in other income? Hello.
Thank you.
Rahul, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I got dropped off.
So he got disconnected. So, I'll take the next question from the line of Rishi Kothari from Pi Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to have a quick update on what sort of peer set are we, if you want to compare our business with, what sort of peer set would you like to recommend?
Sorry, I didn't get your question properly. What set of?
What sort of peer do you really like to compare our business with in the listed space you want to do that? Because we have, you know, prefab business as well as a PEB business as well in the industry, right?
See, our peer group is InterArch and MNB. So that is the best comparison. Okay. Because although we may be having the sandwich panels and prefab, but most of the chunk of the business is coming from the similar nature of business which InterArch or MNB does. Yeah.
Okay. My next question would be the monsoon thing that you said, that more like last quarter was affected by monsoon delay and all that. So will it be all across industry players as well, or will it be just for us in a way?
It depends, you know, like, see, it depends on project to project and site to site. So there are, you know, customers in the same locations in Nagpur. So there is a customer who has been able to execute, you know, his site activities very planned very well and do the civil activities and give us the front, and these are the customers who is not able to do it. So, you know, like, it depends on project to project. Very difficult to say whether, you know, like, the peer group has also been affected by the same monsoons or not.
Okay. Got it. Understood.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhu from MD Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
So, hi sir, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so my question is basically, you know, there was no other income during last quarter, last Q3 of last year, but there is a 6 crores of other income this quarter, right? So, can you please explain about that?
Yeah, so I'll take this. Other income primarily, you know, come in last 9 months. We had other income of close to 3 crore, and this year it's about 11 crore on 9 month basis. Majorly, this is because of two reasons. You know, we got a private equity investment in December 2024, which has remained with us until now, right? So we haven't used that money for anything else. Major part of that money has been lying in fixed deposit to be utilized for the Gujarat expansion, which Sanjayji just explained that we bought the land and the expansion work will happen in this year, FY27. So interest income that is accrued out of that money, and you know, part of the quarter where we use the proceeds to park in temporarily in the commercial bank FD has resulted in this other income.
Okay, thank you, sir. So my second question is, so can we expect any large orders during this quarter, the last quarter of FY26?
Yes, for sure. Nikhil, can you please pick it up? Nikhil, you will, you know, answer for all the more questions.
So, you know, like Sanjayji mentioned, our current order book is 1,215 odd crores, and we have a very strong pipeline. We have a good leads and inquiries from all across the country from various sectors. So going forward, you know, like, you know, we have further inquiries from the renewable sector also. We have good inquiries from the building materials and glass sector, cement sector, automobile sector. So going forward, we are seeing a strong tailwind, you know, in terms of the capex that are happening in these industries. And for sure, we are on track of booking big orders, you know, in this quarter as well.
Okay, thank you, sir. And one last question. So, what is your revenue guidance for next 2 to 3 years? Any guidance for that? Hello.
Our revenue guidance for the next FY 2027, which we are giving, is a minimum 20% of growth over the 26. So I think it is the same guidance which we have been maintaining throughout during our roadshows as well. It would be around 1800 crores.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu from MB Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm the Draft Kalra from MB Investments. My questions are, firstly, is the site readiness bottleneck now fully resolved, and what should we expect, when should we expect the execution to normalize from the current quarter onwards? How many quarters is it going to take to, you know, settle down? My next question, I'll just ask after you answer this.
So he left the queue. The next question is from the line of Bhavya from Chris PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please.
My question is, what is, it's a bookkeeping question. What are the volumes for this quarter?
Volumes in terms of tonnage, you want to know?
Yeah, in terms of tonnage volumes.
I don't have it handy right now in terms of tonnage, but all I can tell you is, you know, in this 9 months, we have been able to do around 70 to 74,000 tons of structural steel, and then we have some add-on items like the sandwich panels and others, which are measured in the in terms of square meters or in terms of numbers, depending on the kind of buildings which you do.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubhankar Gupta from Equity Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, yeah, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes, please.
Perfect.
Nikhil,
yeah.
You
please
ask
your
question, sir.
Nikhil?
Yes, yes.
Can I go ahead?
Yeah, I'll just go ahead. Please. So I just want to understand, you said overall capacity utilization has been 74%. But when I looked at your at one of the last slides of your presentation, it said I think around 91,700 out of 1,34,000, right? So it's around 68% capacity utilization. So I just want to understand how you are calculating this, like the capacity util, and then how does it flow into the realization per ton? Like what is our usual realization per ton for the PB business?
Right. So generally, you know, capacity utilization, capacity, how we build up the capacity is, so there are different components to a building. So one is the built up structure, then is the cold foam sections, then is some other hot roll sections, then is the sheeting, the roofing and the wall cladding. So generally, you know, the capacity of the company is driven by the built up sections because that is the major chunk of the building. So whenever we build up a capacity, we build, like if we build up a capacity in Gujarat for say, so we have to build up capacities of all of these items, right? But generally we see the major capacity utilization happens of the built up, which is the major capacity, and all the other capacities are tag along capacities. Because if we put up a built up capacity, then, you know, the in one building, supposedly a built up is 60-65%, but the cold foam would be around 20% or 15% or 25% depending on the building type. So, you know, when we build up a capacity, generally what we see is the built up capacities are utilized to the most and the other capacities are tag along, so they are not utilized completely. So generally it varies from, you know, around 50-60% like that for the other tag along capacities. So we calculate the capacity as well as the total capacity and how much we have produced in that quarter or in the 9 months period that we are saying. So that's how it's calculated. I'll see why the difference of this, what you are thinking of.
Nikhilji, I'll take this question. I think what you heard earlier, Sanjayji pointing out was the quarter utilization, and what we have given in the presentation is the 9 months capacity utilization close to about 69%. I think that's what you were asking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get your point. Okay, my overall thing, let's say what I'm wanting to understand is, how does the whole capacity utilization flow into the realization per ton, right? So let's say we have around 134,000 overall capacity this year. Out of that, how much is usable? out of that usable, how much are we effectively utilizing, which is the capacity utilization? And then what would it translate into on realization per ton basis? Do you get my question? Hello?
Yes, yes. Yes, yes. We got your question. So typically, Rahul, you know.
Rahul, can you answer this? Or, you know, like, see, this question has come, come to us for the first time. So on a realization basis, all I can tell you is, you know, like our realization per ton, you know, like if you look at only the structural steel, is around 120,000 rupees a ton to 125,000 tons. That has been there. Obviously, it depends on the commodity prices. This year, it may be a little lower. But again, you know, like as I told you, it's a mix of tonnage as well as square meters and numbers. So if you just divide, say, you know, 74,000 ton or 70,000 ton with the revenue, you may arrive at certain figure, which may be a misnomer also, because, you know, recently we have booked the order in which the sandwich panel quantity is very, very high. So, you know, if you look at that order, then in that, you know, like the realization for us will be more than 2 lakh rupees. But it is not the fact, because there is a lot of sandwich panels that is involved.
Okay.
But on realization per ton for steel will be range bound between, say, 100 to 120 rupees, depending on the raw metal prices.
So that's fair. Okay, I got that. Sir, in this, when you, I referring to the same slide as, you know, mentioned by you, so there I'm seeing the Mumbatu plant, that its capacity utilization is around 57% for the 9 months FY26, right? And that is what is probably leading to the 68% of the capacity util. So let's say when we go to 170K, right, around 36,000 we're adding, how much do we expect the capacity utilization for the coming year to be? Coming year or two, I think you can give me a rough ballpark, that would be fine.
See, we would be very happy with the capacity, overall capacity utilization of 80%. If we are able to do it on an average basis, annualized basis, we'd be really very happy.
Okay. Okay, so that's our ideal, and then probably we look at capacity expansion. Okay, fair. Fair. And also wanted to understand one more thing. So, you know, as I think one of the earlier, one of the earlier people also mentioned in the conference call only, that their steel prices have increased over the last one and a half months, right? And that number is fairly decent for our business, which does around 10-11% operating margin, right? So I just want to understand, what are the measures we are currently taking to mitigate this risk, right? You said, I think one is fixed versus variable pricing. I think we are totally on a fixed model. So, and second could be hedging, third could be maintaining inventory, right? So what are the measures we are currently taking to kind of mitigate this big risk, at least for this quarter?
See, we don't have any short-term policy. Understand, there is a commodity risk in our business, because we have a fixed price contract, but the contract is fixed only for a period of maximum 5 years. Because within this period, most of our projects are completed. And within this, you know, 5 to 6 months also, as Nikhil said, so that, you know, the manufacturing period is maximum 3 to 4 months. That is a part of the agreement. So typically what happens in the agreement, if the total time duration is 6 months, then the manufacturing supply duration is 3. So, in the design itself or the front not,
I think I'm losing voice is not very clear. So, can you just repeat? Sorry, I was not very clear.
Okay, okay. I will ask Nikhil to do it here. Maybe I have a network problem. Nikhil, can you please take it up?
Yeah. So steel prices, like, you know, we earlier also said that the project size, maybe if, you know, timeline would be 6 months, but our supply generally finishes for that kind of a project in 3.5 to 4 months. 1 month goes in designing, then goes into supply. And once half of the material is supplied, our erection starts. And, you know, for the last two and a half months is the only erection at site that happens, because generally we supply the material to the site in within those specified timelines. So, you know, having said that, now if we have to supply for a project, if we book a project today, supposedly, then we have 35 to 40 days of inventory in hand, right? So, and we have orders to the mill, which will be delivered in next, you know, 8 weeks or 10 weeks or 12 weeks time, depending on what type of material that we are getting. So generally, we are covered for the 3.5 months. Now comes to the price volatility. I agree. So supposedly we book an order today and we place, we are covered for 3.5 months, and supposedly the prices go up of the steel by, 3%, 4%, 5% in the next few weeks. Then we again book an order in the next week with the increased price. Then later on, after 3 months, the prices goes down also. So we booked an order, 1 week prior at supposedly 56 rupees raw material, and later on, after 2 months, it might go down to 54, 53 also. So overall, if you see, overall cycle that balances, that's the natural hedging that comes to our face, and we are already covered for 3 to 4 months with our inventory and our order to the mills. So generally, we have not seen a huge variation in terms of our profitability because of the price volatility. We have only faced it once when the prices escalated substantially, and that time, it was like a force majeure situation. But otherwise, we don't see any challenge in that.
That's fair. That's fair. I think I have one last question. I'll just quickly ask.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Gupta, but can you please rejoin the queue for more questions?
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for allowing me to ask a question. I just want to understand, we have around 220 crores of debt in our books, and from the IPO, we raised around 70 crores to repay the borrowing. Have we repaid the borrowing yet?
Yeah, so I will take this question. So the answer to the question is we do not have, as on date, as on 31st December, 220 crores. It was there earlier, as on 30th September. Today, we have a term loan close to about 45 odd crore, and we have close to 80 odd crore on our working capital loans. So put together, it's about 125-127 odd crore of term loan plus WCDL put together that we have. So yes,
Understood.
We did repay the 70 crore, term loan that we took from the IPO proceeds.
Sir, just a follow-up on this. I just want to understand the working capital requirement in this business. Typically, what percentage of total revenue do you require as a working capital debt?
Look, I mean, like we had mentioned, it's just about 35-day cash conversion cycle. So the way it works is when we get an order from our customer, we typically get 15%-20% advance, and then we get about 10% on design approval. Then prior to dispatch or on dispatch, we get the supply money. So put together, we have seen this over a period of time, and that's what the guidance we're maintaining, about 35 days working capital cycle, close to about 9% of our overall revenue gets into the working capital cycle.
Understood, sir. So, and my question is with one final question with respect to the order book is we have around 1,200 crores of order books. Out of this, how much is prefab and how much is EPS packaging?
So this order book of 1,215 crores is completely of prefab. So in packaging, it's not on an order basis. So we have long-term agreement with our customers, where they have fixed pricing as well as fixed quantities, that projections that they give for 1 month or 2 months, and accordingly, this regularly flows as per their production. So there's no as such order book. It's a agreement, long-term agreement that we have with our customers on a regular basis because we make molds for them specifically for their products, for manufacturing packaging material. So it, once we have, one product line supplying packaging for them, then it continues for a long run, maybe 2 years, 3 years or 4 years also.
Understood, sir. So then can you give the breakup with respect to sandwich panel and prefab?
In terms of order book?
Yes.
So around, in 1,215 crores, we'll have around 1,000-odd crores in PEB and maybe around 200-215-odd crores. I don't have the exact figures. That should be the ratio.
200 of sandwich panels, right?
Yeah, for modular and sandwich panels, yes. Prefab structures, smaller buildings.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Subhanu from 3 Head Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hope I am audible. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, can you tell me a bit more about seasonality? Which quarter is most best for us? Like you said, Q4 is the best, then which quarter is best for us?
Yeah, so in terms of seasonality, generally the trend that we have seen, quarter four is the best quarter for us in terms of the deliverables and the execution. And generally if we see in the half yearly basis, the H2 is better than the H1. So generally that's the trend. But depending on again the seasonality and other things, sometimes it might vary because, you know, like this year, as we discussed earlier, the rains got extended a little beyond the, you know, regular seasonal timelines. That is why a few projects were affected, the big projects, and that is why that quarter was affected. Otherwise, generally, you know, the fourth quarter is the best for us in terms of our deliverables in prefab structures and pre-engineered buildings.
Yes, but according to my understanding, Q4 is best, Q1 and Q3, then Q4. Q2. Am I right?
Yeah, so Q4 is the best. Then it would be, I mean, again, depending on the seasonality, Q1 would also be pretty good. Q2 and Q3, this year was, you know, Q3 was a little weak.
No, historically, I don't saying about this year. I saying about historically.
Yeah, so historically Q4, then Q3, then Q1 and Q2.
Yes, yes. My second question is, out of our sandwich product and capacity, how much volume we consume in-house and how much we sell?
Yes. So, you know, typically what we are planning to do currently, what we are doing in the last couple of months also, we are planning to utilize almost 60% of the capacity of panels in-house and balance 40% we will be selling as a product to the market.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. These are from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Asim from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi everyone. Just one question. So you have talked about revenue growth, 20% CAGR in the near term. This year also we'll be doing far better overall and margins of, you know, 10.5% to 11.5% odd. Can you also comment on, you know, how your return ratios will move from current level, both ROC and ROE, and what are steady state levels once your CapEx work is all done and peak utilization are achieved?
Yeah, Rahul ji, please take it up.
Yeah, look, I mean, historically, we have always had great return ratios owing to the fact that we never had private equity capital, etc. But given once the, you know, CapEx, etc. goes, you know, the steady state thing happen, we should be able to deliver our ROE close to about 18%. Obviously, you will see a little blip in the ROE in the year FY27 because the CapEx will be happening there. But as it steadies, we will see about 17-18% ROE return coming up. And on the ROC front, we are still very, very optimistic and we look forward to delivering close to 22-25% ROC over the next few years.
Okay. Thanks, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, so thank you so much everyone for this call and showing interest in our stock and our business. So thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.